This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Okay, Mike, buy or sell. I want you to think here. I want you to think. Buy or sell, the Broncos will be the number one seed.
Buy.
What? You didn't even think. You just, because you're going to, well, they're going to win on Thursday, and they're going to guaranteed win against the Chargers.
Brady, I don't think I know.
You knew they were going to beat the Jaguars on Friday. Thursday.
Yeah, well, I was wrong. I've been wrong three times this year. I'm 12-3.
Well, yeah, but you pick them to win every game. It doesn't count that way. Buy or sell, the Pittsburgh Steelers are a bit of a concern in these playoffs, Michael.
Sell.
Steelers have beaten the Ravens, a Dolphins team that was maybe looking a little better. And then they beat the Lions in Detroit yesterday. They have Cleveland and a Baltimore team that might not be playing for anything by that time, or could even be without Lamar Jackson, even though he plans to play against Green Bay. If Baltimore loses this weekend, they would drop to 7-9, and that's it. Pittsburgh's going to win the AFC North. Baltimore has to win the next two games, and Pittsburgh would need to lose. So Aaron Rodgers, though, he's looking pretty good.
Yeah, if they make it to the playoffs, which I'm going to say they probably make it to the playoffs, they're going to lose in the first round.
I don't know about that, Mike. I don't know. Buy or sell outside of the Broncos. Who is the team to beat in your mind? Because I already know you're going to do the Broncos because it's really disgusting and you just have to do that no matter what. It's just part of your DNA. Who is the team to beat outside of Denver in the AFC?
The Broncos.
No,
sorry, I had to do that.
Outside of the Broncos.
It's in my DNA.
Stop being a toddler that's just obsessed with one team because you like their colors. Actually be a football person. It's an adult sports talk show. So we don't just want you saying, I like the Broncos.
I wouldn't have done that if you hadn't gone
on
the
Bills?
Tirade.
Is it the Bills? Jags?
I mean...
Texans?
I'd say the Jaguars. Jaguars are good.
Texans, though?
They're sneaky good.
How about the Texans?
Texans need a little more on offense. They got that defense, but they need a little more on offense.
Who are you buying on in the NFC? Seattle right now is number one. Chicago.
It would be between Seattle and the Rams, but Chicago is looking good.
Yeah, but Chicago, and then, I mean, is Philly, they're 10-5, but there's still something about Philly that I still feel like they just haven't looked right, though. But there's still something there that leads me to believe they could turn it on in the playoffs.
It's a good cheesesteak, but every now and then you open it up and it's like, oh, there's a hair in here. Yeah, they're going to lose in the first round as well.
Three teams are still alive in the NFC that are not... Two. Detroit and Tampa Bay. Detroit losing to Pittsburgh was obviously pretty rough for them.
I would take Detroit over Tampa. I think Tampa is just...
Well... It's basically the switch is kind of between Tampa and Carolina at that fourth spot because it's about the division. At
Carolina
this stage.
Is the hotter team.
Mm-hmm.
Tampa
how
is
about,
ice cold.
How about Carolina? How about Carolina, man?
I the only one who didn't like completely give up on their quarterback?
I didn't give up just because it was so crazy that he wasn't good. That it was just so, I thought he was going to be, again, it's Carolina, though. Ask Baker Mayfield about his time with Carolina. Oh, man, this playoff race, though, it is going to get really wild the rest of the way through. The Broncos have, get this, Mike, are you ready for this? According to ESPN, the Broncos have now a 36.2% chance to earn the number one seed, whereas the Patriots have a 39.8. That's because they have a tied record. They're expecting the Patriots to win both of their games. They believe the Patriots win both of their games more than they believe the Broncos are going to win both of their games.
Who do the Patriots have?
They play the Jets this weekend.
All right, that's a bye week.
And then I think it's also an easier game. Their final game. Let me look. It would be the Jets and the Dolphins.
Dolphins are going to put up more of a fight, but boy, the Jets just are not a good team.
Yeah.
Not a good team.
Yeah.
Not a franchise. They're going to suck once again.
Boy. Jacksonville is being given a 13.6% chance of earning the number one seed. Buffalo, because of tiebreakers and everything, they're given a 4.1% chance. The Chargers are given a 6.2% chance. Believe it or not, the Texans are mathematically still in it. They're 0.1%, but it's between the Broncos, Pats, and I guess the Jags. They just don't. I mean, the Bills with their schedule coming up. Maybe the thought process there is that with all the tiebreakers that they have in place, they're going to need a little help. And of course, losing to the Patriots once at least didn't help. They have the Eagles, though, this weekend. So that one's tough, and then they're home against the Jets. Man. I had a feeling we were going to get to this point with Denver. As much as they've been winning, they're still only given a 36.2% chance of clinching the number one seed right now. The higher percentage goes to the Patriots. Meanwhile, the playoff race, it's pretty much looking like it's going to be Broncos, Pats, Jags, Steelers, Bills, Chargers, Texans. The Ravens now have a 7.5% chance of getting in, and the Colts have a 5.2% chance of getting in. Obviously, that's going to, tonight, assuming the Colts lose tonight, that's going to drop them to their seventh loss. Yeah, and then that's going to be almost next to impossible for the Colts to get in. Not completely, but close to it. And Baltimore with Lamar Jackson, the way that's going, man, and they're going to need some help with Pittsburgh. That's going to be tough. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. So the games that are here's what's big this weekend to close it out. Now this week and then next week. We're already down to it. Can you believe that, Michael? We got 2 weeks left. 2 games left to decide this whole thing. So Christmas Day, the only game that means anything to Broncos fans is just the Broncos game. They need to win to keep, if they win, they'll still be the number one seed. They beat the Chiefs for the time being. They are 12.5-point favorites in this game. Saturday afternoon, Michael. I think we're going to have both of those games on KFKA, by the way. Texans and Chargers. Go Houston. If Houston beats the Chargers, Michael, the Chargers will then... And Denver takes care of their business. That's what's beautiful about Thursday. Denver can take care of the Chiefs. Then we get to sit back and watch. The Chargers, if they lose and Denver wins, the Chargers are out of the race for the number one seed because that would be their fifth. And then obviously the Broncos could only lose one more, and that would be against the Chargers, but it wouldn't matter because the Chargers would be at 11-5 if they lose to the Texans. So that's a big one to be watching out for. The rest of, you know, teams chasing Denver, potentially there, you have Jags and Colts. The Jags are a 7-point favorite. Now, if they win out and Denver happens to stumble once, the Jags would have the tiebreaker over Denver because they beat them head-to-head. There you go. That's yesterday was a pretty significant loss for Denver. Not that they can't still handle their stuff here. Easiest solution is Denver wins out, and they're the number one seed. The Patriots are at 3 losses now. If the Broncos beat the Chiefs and the Patriots happen to lose to the Jets, which I do not see that happening, then the Pats would be out of the number one seed. Because Denver would still have the tiebreaker over the New England Patriots, even if they finish both with 4 losses. And then the Bills play the Eagles. If the Bills lose this game and Denver does their thing Thursday, then they're out of it. So you just got to win. You got to beat the Chiefs first, and then you let everything else kind of fall where it may. Are you like here's where I worry about Denver right now. Last year, defensively, they were very good, and they were 50-50-ish when it came to December. And then they took that kind of negative momentum defensively into the playoffs against Buffalo. And Buffalo put the stomp on them. I was really bummed out about was the fact that Denver couldn't tackle. I mean, second half tackling was bad for this team. And that's tough. I mean, Vance Joseph talked about it. He's like, hey, you know, the problem is you get... You got a lot of tape on you now and what you like to do. So you're going to get some pretty wild stuff thrown at you offensively with a lot more study on how to take this defense down. And unfortunately, if there is a kryptonite to Vance Joseph right now, it's how does his defense perform late in the season? Because 1 year is okay, whatever. They struggled 1 month. Now 2 years in a row... Is that just because it's next to impossible to keep damn near perfection up? When I say perfection, they're still not getting turnovers. This team just does not rack up the turnovers. But I don't think people realize sometimes how hard it is to maintain a certain level of play when you are that good 90% of the season. So you're just going to have these drop-offs. Plus, Mike... The injuries certainly don't help this team. You know, with Brandon Jones being out, and now Greenlaw had the hamstring thing. The defensive side of the ball, they were banged up. Justin Sternad, it's another name there. The injuries are starting to hit at a really inopportune time, and you just gotta hope they can overcome it. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. So losing Brandon Jones certainly hurt. Justin Sternad, foot injury. He missed Sunday's loss to Jacksonville. He may be able to return before the regular season is out. Dre Greenlaw hurt his hamstring, didn't finish the game. So you were the middle of the field. You had Alex Singleton and Hufanga surrounded by a bunch of reserves. Now, one person in the Denver Post, Mike, suggested Parker Gabriel does a fantastic job in his write-ups, and is kind of he summarizes his thoughts on the game. He suggested Jahdae Barron at safety, rookie corner who's played a lot of nickel, played a lot of dime. Is that too wild to do this late in the season, though? I mean, he's a good player and. Feel like he's getting better as the season goes, and you're pretty thin at the safety position. Is that obviously not having Brandon Jones in that game? That was an impact late. The later this game got,
and Turner Yell got hurt.
Yeah,
who's on the practice squad, and how long have they been on the practice squad? Because I don't know how much Jahdae Barron has played safety?
None.
Like that. That's None. A very
it's kind of a wild
position.
Yeah, I mean, Turner Yale, you mentioned he's going to be listed as questionable. Brandon Jones is for sure out. Safety position is up in the air. You're also dealing with, I already mentioned Sternett. He's out at linebacker, too, middle linebacker, as far as depth purposes go. And then we'll see what happens with Greenlaw. I did not see him mentioned on any kind of an injury report today, which I guess is good, but he did not finish the game yesterday. So that's a guy that can't catch a break. He battled injuries, then he had the game suspension where he chased after the referee, and now this. You're catching some pretty negative situations at the worst time. However, you are catching a Chiefs team that has nothing to play for other than pride. And you got Patrick Mahomes out, and you're on your third quarter. I think, didn't Gardner tear his ACL?
Yeah.
So that's it.
The Broncos have already dominated Gardner back when he was a Raider.
Yeah. So, no concern right now about what it looks like for Denver after losing 34-20. It's just for you. It's just
look. The offense is potent. They're just going to have to step it up, make it happen.
They're potent.
They're going to be potent.
Why weren't they potent in the fourth quarter?
I don't know what's going on. Like, fourth quarter. Bonix, you got, by the way, that fumble really bothered me. It's like, that's a college fumble.
That was a bad
that's
fumble.
That's not a pro fumble. That was a college fumble.
That was a bad fumble, Mike. Concerned about the penalties?
That was less penalties than they usually get.
Yeah.
So I'm not concerned about that.
6 for 61, but Jacksonville had 2 for 20.
They could have had a couple more. They could have had a pass interference in the end zone.
Faith, shout out Miles. Brady making excuses for the Broncos? No, I'm actually the one saying you're catching stuff here at the wrong time in the month of December. You're the one over there like it's all rose colored and everything's wonderful and we're going to be fine.
Orange colored.
Yeah, I am concerned at the trend that we've seen defensively with Vance Joseph's defense. I mean, as much talk, and I've certainly led that, as much talk surrounding him and him getting another head coaching job, which I do believe he will. But the fact remains, in the last 2 years, the month of December, we talk about how great Sean Payton is once he gets into October football. How about Vance Joseph in December as far as defensively? Just basically the last 2 years. The year before that was kind of up and down. Yes, Michael?
Well, next year, if the Broncos do lose Vance Joseph, then they can draft two extra players because they will get two compensatory draft picks.
Great.
So if they lose Vance Joseph.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yay.
Sad for us, but also there's positive news.
Yay. I'm still like very much a, it could be the Broncos, it could be the Bills. Houston concerns me. If they match up with Houston, and if that happens, dude, you got to freaking win Thursday. Christmas Day is now. Like, oh, we kind of laughed it off. Like, oh, that game doesn't mean anything now. No, it kind of means everything. I think this team really needs to get that first round bye. And they really need to get home field advantage throughout. If that home field is as loud as it's going to, if that's a preview of what it's going to look like once you actually get into the playoffs, man, look out. That could bode well for this team. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Michael, here's some good news, though. The Broncos did get to Trevor Lawrence 5 times. They're now at 63 sacks. They need 9 more to tie it. 10 more to break the sack record. We said they probably needed 5 or 6 to just kind of keep pace, and they got 5. They tee off on Thursday, go for 7.
I think they can get 7 or 8.
They're going to need it if they want to get the record. So that one's cool. Also, Courtland Sutton. I said at the beginning of the season, Courtland Sutton's going to have his best statistical year ever. He is now at 972 yards. So as far as yardage goes, his best year was his second year. I'm just trying to give you some positives here because you're pretty down. You don't, your belief factor is completely out the window. He needs 140 yards to break his individual single season record. 140 yards.
You know, it felt all season like he was being ignored, and then suddenly the last two games, boom, going to Courtland.
Stop. How about in receptions, the most receptions he's ever had in a season? 72, Michael. He's going to break that. Well, no, excuse me, 81. 81. So he needs 140 yards. He needs, what is he at right now? 69? He needs 12 receptions. Close. He needs 4 touchdowns. To get to he's had 10 in a season. He needs 4 to get to 11.
I don't think he's going to get 4. The receptions, probably not, but those yards, possibly.
140? 12 receptions in 2 games?
That's tough. That's a
They're
going to
be playing both games. They're not benching people now. No. Unless everybody loses this weekend that they need to lose. I don't see that happening.
Although you are one wide receiver short. So
maybe
you're going to have to possibly force some passes into him.
Why,
but then again,
why did
little Jordan Humphreys?
Why did Denver look so much different in that for the majority of that first half compared to the second half?
I don't know. I don't know why sometimes they go to sleep.
Tackling a big issue.
Taking bad angles.
Offensively, is it as easy as just saying you didn't have a consistent run game again? Because that
I
puts too much
that,
on
but
Bo?
It happens. Way too often.
Yeah, RJ's having a great rookie season. We're going to look back at this and say, RJ Harvey was really good his rookie year, but the Broncos still were very bad running the ball.
It seems like every time RJ Harvey gets tackled for 1 yard or no yards, coach is like, I don't know, let's throw the ball again.
Yeah. Well, they're going to have to clean it up quickly because, listen, Kansas City's got nothing to play for. They're going to be in a play for pride kind of thing. Hey, let's go upset the Broncos. Let's knock them out of the number one seed opportunity. Let's go do that. That's a tall task. No way Denver's losing that game. No way. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Michael, 28 minutes after the hour. Before we break here, I want to thank Lemons Heating and Cooling, HVAC contractor here in Northern Colorado. They have free estimates available at lemonsheatingandcooling.com. Visit them and you can get a free estimate. So call them 970-567-0798. Tell them about your situation or go online again at lemonsheatingandcooling.com. 28 minutes after the hour. Let's take a short break. This is The Whole Show, powered by Chevron. On Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Find out what's happening in your community. Sports news and talk. Good morning, NoCo. Weekdays 6 to 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition. Every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
All right, some news, Mike. Kansas City Chiefs will be leaving the state of Missouri and will announce a move to Kansas today. They're not moving today, but they're going to announce it with plans to replace the popular but aging Arrowhead Stadium with a new state-of-the-art venue capable of hosting major year-round events.
So I can stop hating Missouri and I can start hating Kansas.
Good for you, buddy. That's what it's all about. That's what your little sports world is all about. That's kind of crazy.
World.
That's kind of crazy, right? Arrowhead being one of the more legendary stadiums. Oh, can they just not do what the Broncos did? And I know you're weird about this too, but can they just keep naming it Arrowhead Stadium? I know it's all about sponsors and stuff, but man, with Denver, they haven't been mile high since they were actually had Mile High Stadium.
Yeah, so it's probably going to be Jim Belushi Twinkies at Arrowhead Field.
Why would it be Jim Belushi? Wasn't he a Chicago kind of guy?
Yeah, oh yeah.
That wouldn't make much sense for Kansas, I don't think, Mike.
It was the first name that popped into my head.
Well, that's another reason.
Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd's a Kansas City guy.
That's another reason for Denver to just mop the floor with Kansas City Thursday, because you're going to have sad fans there. Depressed fans. How about that? Yeah, I saw that too, Faith. Bobby Petrino got hired as Belichick's OC. How do you think that's going to go? Is that official too? I know it was like this morning, it was they're working toward hiring him because ESPN had it. Because Freddie Kitchens was fired earlier in the month. He was the head coach at Arkansas. He returned to the Razorbacks in 24. He was the OC there. Is this going to be the last year for Belichick in the college ranks, Mike? Or does he go back to the NFL? I mean, he's going to give it another year, I would assume, but man, it was a rough go for him.
He kind of turned it around a bit towards the end.
Yeah. I don't know. I predicted that they'd be a college football playoff team in 2 years. So that's not looking so good. Although we're still within reason of that, Mike. So
miracles happen.
Yeah. Got this on CSU's news. Tight end Rocky Beers is going to enter the transfer portal. That upset a lot of Rams fans because he was a record-setting CSU tight end. And, of course, the name, fan favorite, instant fan favorite. He set a CSU record for touchdown receptions for a tight end in 2025, but now expected to enter the transfer portal. A lot of good names entering the portal for Colorado State after Jim Mora took over.
And that's my favorite name.
Which one?
Rocky Beers.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Everybody liked that name. It was not.
Is he old enough to enjoy his name?
I don't think he actually. I think he is, but I think he mentioned he doesn't. He doesn't drink beer.
It's ironic.
And then CSU got absolutely smoked over the weekend, Mike, by Utah State. That was a big kind of early test in the Mountain West to see who's gonna rise above here as we jump into conference play. CSU certainly getting a lot of heads turning under Ali Farouk Manesh in his first year. Now, they faced adversity this young season. Him being a young head coach, losing to DU was certainly a shocker to people. But when you get boat raced by Utah State, who is projected to probably be one of the top teams in the Mountain West Conference, then that's a cause for concern. They were 7 of 23 from the three-point line, Michael. That hurts you. Josh Pascarelli was 2 of 7. Jevin Muniz was 0 for 2, and Brandon Recksteiner 3 of 9. Just could not get the threes to fall. They're going to be a team that lives by the three and dies by the three. And then Kyle Jorgensen leaves the game on crutches just a few minutes into this thing. So we'll try to catch up with Kevin Lytle since we're not going to be on the rest of the week. We got tomorrow. We'll see what he's up to, what he thinks about Colorado State. Updates on Kyle Jorgensen, too. 38 minutes after the hour. Before we break, Mike, I want to thank Renaissance Insurance Group in Windsor. They are a fiercely independent insurance brokerage with a regional presence formed by two UNC Bears alumni over 20 years ago. Renaissance Insurance has our backs, the people of Northern Colorado. Call Ryan at Renaissance Insurance, 970-674-8825. End of the year's coming up. Maybe you're starting to look at new plans for 2026. Or, you know, you're at least thinking maybe after the first quarter or something, we got to add different coverages to whatever operation you're working with. You can get commercial, you can get individual insurance needs. Just talk to Ryan at 970-674-8825 or visit them online at team-rig.com. 39 minutes after the hour, Mike, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, everybody. Steve Smiley, head men's basketball coach at the University of Northern Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on KFKA.
After the 1 o'clock hour, the question will be, how now do the Broncos handle some adversity? You know, after they lost early in the season to the Colts and the Chargers, they answered the bell. They were winning crazy fourth quarter games, unlikely comebacks, surviving the noise, people counting them out, saying they're not beating anybody. They just kind of kept going out there, picking up their lunch pail, going to work. And then you lose to a team that I think, yeah, especially after yesterday, there's a lot of people that are throwing the Jacksonville Jaguars names out there as a team maybe that could go and do something. Denver has to deliver, and they have a short turnaround to do it. Again, quarterback out, second string quarterback out. It's still a game you got to get up for. And you know, Mike, the Chiefs would love to be the team that potentially knocks Denver out of the number one spot. Playing this thing in Kansas City. Not many more of those. Not many more of those now after the news. So, Broncos are heavy favorites, though. That will wrap up Christmas night. Boy, that would be a depressing Christmas night, wouldn't it? Somehow lose this game to a Chiefs team that's on their last leg and certainly much different than where they've been in years past, pretty much since Patrick Mahomes took over as a starting quarterback. I think this here's what I think, Mike. I think Denver's defense is pretty good. They came back down to earth a bit the last couple of games, even in wins, the last few games. I think, you know, we know what the run game's going to be. This is who Sean Payton is. He's going to put most of his trust into his young quarterback. I just get the feeling that if Denver wants to not only clinch the first round spot, the first round bye, I think suddenly they're going to need their quarterback to grow up to a different level. Probably that level we saw against Green Bay. He's going to have to start playing in that, kind of getting into that, what is it Steve Smiley said about Brock Wisney, the flow state. I thought Bo had a few of those games or a few of those moments in this game yesterday. But there were some rough throws. Obviously, the end of the game wasn't good with the Pat Bryant situation. And you wonder if that affects a young quarterback. Because he looked a little shaken up. Everybody did, obviously. Those kind of things can mess with you. I think so much of Denver's path to clinching the first round, the first seed, and making real noise and getting to the Super Bowl, I think a lot of this is going to come down to Bo Nix. I think the defense will still be good. At the end of the day, we're going to still say this was a really good year for Denver's defense, but you just don't want these to start stacking up as you jump into the playoffs. That's what happened last year. How do you break that? Because defensively, they were giving up some, you know, obviously they caught the Chiefs when they were playing their JV team. Different circumstances last year, but that was one of the better games for their defense. But there were two or three other games in the month of December where they weren't good, and that kind of negative momentum led us into the playoffs against the Bills last year and started off with a bang, and then Buffalo ran the table the rest of the way. So much about starting, you know, it can be easy to start strong, and it can be easy in the middle of the season to still do some of those great things, which they did defensively. But now I think Denver's kind of at this crossroads right now. Vance Joseph said it. Teams have a lot more film on you at this point in the season. They're going to be throwing a lot of different, unique offensive attacks your way when they have all that information on you. And the Broncos are starting to the injuries are starting to kind of mount up for this team. So we'll see. But first things first, you got to win Thursday. 48 minutes after the hour, what did we learn? Coming up next, it's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll wrap it up here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKI.
Happening in your community. Sports news and talk. Good morning, NoCo. Weekdays 6 to 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hull, on The Hull Show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
All right, what do we learn on this 22nd day of December, just a few days away from Christmas Day, and a big one for the Broncos on Thursday. Well, Mike, we learned that the Jags are they're good. They're not to be messed with here. And the Broncos, they are kind of human. It felt like no matter what or how the game was going to go, they'd find a way to do it. Defense would keep them in the game long enough, and then offensively, you'd see some magic. And they, for one game at least, they couldn't rely on that. And now, they gotta go into Kansas City and try to find a way to win that game, which they should, if they want to keep their hopes alive of clinching the number one seed. Mike, what'd you learn today?
Learned that the Chiefs are moving to Kansas, so
yeah.
Now I can hate Kansas instead of Missouri. The
it's me rolling my eyes.
You shaking your head at
well,
me.
I'm rolling my eyes because it's such a toddler thing.
I was going to say that the Jaguars are not a team to be trifled with, but
no.
The Broncos will trifle with them in the playoffs and win.
Maybe. Maybe could see Houston, too. Yeah. Who knows? All right, that'll do it for us. We're back at it on a Tuesday. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.